You are now tuned in to the No Offense Podcast.
He got Hawk, man. Let him go.
I ain't gonna hit him. Nah, I ain't gonna sock you, little nigga, because you got Hawk. I can respect that. He ain't no punk-ass Mark like the rest of your homeboys.
Let him go, D.
I ain't gonna hit him. But I am gonna whoop your ass. Whoop your little
What up, though? This your boy DOC, and we got a very, very special guest on the platform tonight. I'm pretty sure you either have seen him in Webster, Ghost Dad, Baby Boy, Percentage, or a ton of different sitcoms and movies. He's actively working right now on a show called Fifth Ward and Family Time. We got Omar Gooden in the community tonight, you guys, to come chop it up with us. How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm blessed, my brother.
You know, one thing that surprised me, I guess me keeping up with your career, but I don't know how it went off the radar that I never noticed. I guess I didn't hear it, was that you end up getting into rapping. Your name is Big O?
Yes, sir.
Let's go, don't stop, get more, then stop, hell no, get high, be high, stay high, then go, they not red though, they like, damn hoes, get laid, get paid, Baywatch, Venmo, wait, bro, need guap, pesos, race goes, pace slows, fake blows, up. Fuck around and take your foot off the gas, nigga. Watch your pace slow up. Look, Big O the type that like to hold the pistols. OG, I wake up old school. I'm talking Folgers Crystal. Well, I know both of your parents were musicians. Was that the biggest inspiration behind you going off into the music lane? Like, how did you get into that realm?
Well, it actually started when I was 9 years old. You know, my father was a singer. My mother was also a recording artist as well. She gave up her career to be a house to raise the family, you know what I mean? While Pops continued to do his thing and move on about and chase the money, so to speak. So it's always been in the blood. You know, when I was 9 years old, I entered a talent show, where we did The Show, me and my friend at the time. Shout out to my boy, Brayman. We actually lip-synced the show, Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick. And we took first place in that joint. You know, I mean, you know, back then, I think we're all winners at like fourth grade, but you know what I mean?
Right.
But I knew I was bit right then, you know what I'm saying? So I always kept writing. You know, I started my acting career, really took off when I was 12. But when I was 10, you know, I did a movie called Ghost Dad with Bill Cosby, directed by Sidney Poitier. And then, you know, by 12, I landed Wild and Crazy Kids and Hanging with Mr. Cooper and The Smart Guy and everything. It all just kind of went consecutively. But during that span, I also did, I was always doing my music. You know, I ran with a couple of different groups. I had one group by the name of Legion, and we signed a contract to Thump Records out of California. And then we were signed to QD3 in the Sound Lab right around the time Pac died. That's when we're really going to break. But, you know, when he passed, everything kind of slowed down, especially, you know, with Quincy Jones and them, and the fact that he was gonna, you know, he's gonna marry his daughter and all that. So, you know, everything kind of stopped on that end, and my acting career kept going. You know what I mean? So, throughout the years, I had, you know, I met a guy named Bernard Edwards Jr. His father was from a very famous band back in the day, Chic. You know, and he became a producer. Now he works with Dre. He's worked with Dre over 20 years, you know, which is I've known him for almost 30. So, you know, this last year we had done music before. We actually put out an album. We actually did an album about, goodness, probably 10 years ago now, where we completed it, but we never released it. You know, everything was going so different. You know, we had two different directions that we were going in. So we said, you know, let's do this again. And on this album, it'll just be you. You know, it was him and I both sharing verses. He was doing the music, but he was also writing verses, and I was writing verses, and we were collabing, and we so forth and so on. We called it Big Business. But this album is the debut album for myself under the moniker of Big O. And it's an album that couldn't have been done at any other time. You know, it's called The Excuse. It's available now on everywhere from Apple, iTunes, Spotify, all that. And we're going to start a big push in about a month or so. You know, right now on the acting side, I'm very, very busy. You know, you said, I don't know, before we were recording, and you congratulated on my son that I have come. I got one, I got a 2-year-old at home and then one on the way. So it's just a busy time right now. I got a series that I'm doing called Family Time. We're in our 7th season. I paused, the break in between season 7 and season 8 was only a month long. And I've chosen to not take a break, but join the cast of a series called Fifth Ward, which films out here in Houston. So I'm in the middle of this now. Then I go back, get home, dive into season 8, and then I'll have a little bit of time off, which will make me, which will allow me to switch gears back into the rapping world. Which, what the cool thing about it is, I finished the album last year before I, you know, I got real heavy into. These seasons with all this, with all the acting I had done. So the music aspect of it is finished. So you guys can listen to it. You know, I put a couple of songs out. I put out the single I dropped featuring Black Souls, also from Aftermath. And I really tried to just introduce the Big O side to everybody else, you know. So what we did is we finally did a couple of visuals right before I came out here to Houston. And we shot a few videos, which I'm going to release sometime next week. I'm going to release at least one of them. And then the second one, I'm really excited about, because it kind of did homage to John Singleton, who we just lost. So I did a couple of things featuring like the Baby Boy scenes in the background. So it's a lot of fun. It's really just kind of showing the parallel careers that I've had, where, you know, me as a person, I love to have fun. I love humor. So I do a lot of sitcoms and TV, but I'm also no joke when it comes to the drama side, which was showcased by Baby Boy.
Right.
And then through all of this, music has been my life.
That's dope. That's dope. You're definitely staying busy. But I got a question. Like, what made you call it The Excuse?
Well, The Excuse is because it answers a lot of questions. You know, a lot of people say, "What?" You know, it's kind of like the questions that we're having now. It's like, well, what, you know, how long have you been rapping? What's taken so long for you to put this out? Well, we've heard questions. There's a lot of questions that I get asked day to day about my career, about my brother, about the movie Baby Boy, and about the girl. Was she, you know, we're dating and this and that. You know, there's so many questions that I try to answer them in this album. I don't answer all of them, but I do touch on a lot of them. It's the first time that I've done a musical project where I'm being introspective. Like, usually, you know, I kind of tried to make my own name. Big O just kind of speak for himself, but they say, who are you? You know, a lot of people say, oh, I can talk about this and that and go abstract. You know, I'm West Coast, so we try to make sure that we talking about something. You know, it's not gangster rap. It's not it's not this new age. I'm not trapping. You know what I mean? It's like, just speak from the heart. Well, why don't we talk about the struggles of the entertainment industry on a whole? You know, like Swim, The Hook. Talks about a person, it talks about just being in the industry, any industry, where they would rather see you drown. They'll let you drown just to see if you can swim, to see if you're like them. You know what I mean? A lot of people won't just give you anything. They won't just say, well, here, man, you got what it takes. Here, this is for you. It's all laid out for you. They want to see if you can work for it the way that they work for it. And if you're really deserving of all the accolades and the credit and the fame and everything that comes with it. So, you know, it's my testimony to, well, this is my journey. This is what I've been through, and this is what I had to offer hip hop, you know, because first and foremost, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of music. I'm a fan of entertainers. I'm a fan of my craft. So I watch a lot. I listen to a lot. And then if I feel I have something to give to it, then that's when I put an album out. I put a song out. I say, look, this should be up there with songs that I hear on the radio, or songs that I've found that are underground, or whatever it is. This is my take on it. This is Big O.
Well, somewhere up in here, I'm going to insert some of your music for the people to hear. And I know your fans and everybody, even myself, is going to check out what you got coming out. But you just mentioned John Singleton. Definitely rest in peace to him. For people that don't know, he just passed away not too long ago. I wanted to ask you a question. In that process of auditioning and everything, working with John Singleton, did you guys build any type of relationship? Was it strictly business, or did you guys get opportunity to bond off the set?
You know, it's kind of funny, is, you know, when you do these films, TV shows, you know, I guess it's probably the same when you just have a regular job. You have coworkers, you have people that you live with for a certain amount of time, in the sense of you see them every day. You know, so you build certain relationships in that aspect. Now, for me, when I met John Singleton, the role that he had for me was a guy that didn't have very many friends. He was kind of lived in this box of this is his reality. He had one friend, and that one friend he expected to do things for him because he would do damn near anything for that friend. Like, he stayed in this bubble, and I had to really lock in because I was the type of guy that had a house full of guys, a whole bunch of, you know, roommates and different females I was seeing, and, you know, I was kind of more lively and bubbly, so I had to kind of close myself off. So I wasn't out to make new friends. I wasn't trying to be real friendliness. I kind of locked into that character, and it kind of set me apart from everybody else in the cast, save for the girl that played my girlfriend, who actually wound up being my girlfriend in real life for a few years, even after we finished the film. So, you know, me and John, personally, for me, in order to really give my all, I had to respect him in a way that I didn't want to go out and hang with him on the side. You know what I mean? That's not my thing. Me and Tyrese, same type of thing where he kind of, I wouldn't have minded bonding in that way, but we just were two different type of humans. You know, I was more drinking, smoking, hanging out, different girls, this and that, blah, 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 where he wanted me to come over to his house, close the door, to just be by ourselves. And I was just like, nah, I think that just ain't me. You know what I mean? So we didn't really hit it off on a social basis. And as far as John Singleton, you know, I respected him. So we didn't, you know, like him and Tyrese, it was a different thing. They both clicked in a certain way personally. So they became great friends. Me, it was more like, well, in order to play this role, in order to do this, this is my life. I got to keep it separate. I don't every time I do a show or a project bond and say, all right, you're now a friend. Here's my number. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll be thick as thieves as we work in, but when work is work, when it's done, I got a couple day ones and I got a couple people that I trust, and that's really it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But there was definitely a mutual respect. You know, the last time I saw him in person, we were all out at a festival downtown LA, and I had my son and my wife with me, and he was there with a couple of his daughters, and we all hung out and took some pictures, and then I had a video of him holding my son, and then we, you know, I posted it online. So it was a real good moment. And then after that, before that, I had seen him at a function where he had, where they were celebrating the O.J. Simpson series that he did, where he worked with my brother again. And I came there just to support my brother. And we all had a nice moment where he was, you know, we talked about, you know, how he started both of our careers, really. So we're very appreciative of him for that. And we'll never forget it.
That's something I always wonder, you know, would you recommend, say, for instance, if someone that was listening to this video right now that's wanting to get in the industry, regardless if it's through movies or entertainment, as far as rapping or anything like that, would you recommend people not really building relationships, just being more strictly about the work, coming in and just knocking out the job? Or do you think it has pros and cons to being that type of way?
There's definitely pros and cons. I mean, it was a thing that I had to kind of get out of, you know, because I know a lot of people take it personally. They say, well, damn, you feel you too good, or you don't want to eat with us, or you don't want to hang with that, that, that. But I'm like, you know, I got enough going on in my life, you know. Yeah. I don't mind being your friend, and I don't mind being friendly, but there's enough is enough. You know what I mean? So that's just how I roll, how I'm wired. But, you know, on the flip side, I do encourage people when you are in these projects, you know, to be outgoing, to show your personality, and to be open to building relationships, as long as you know where to draw the line. Because then that other fine line comes in where all these other movements that are popping up and all these other inappropriatenesses and things that happen like that. And people felt like, I thought I just had to go to this party or this function and they were doing it, so I did it and this and that. And now I'm a victim and now I want to stand up and I want my check.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, you know when it's going the direction that you don't want to go. You know what I mean? You don't have to do all of that shit. You know, but I think each person has to find it. I don't know, because, you know, as I've talked about that, I've had, you know, people ask me about the Me Too movement came out. And have you seen this and that? And I said, shit, I know how to avoid it.
Right.
But my personality, my person, I already know. All right, I know what's going on over there. No, thank you. You know, I was never big on peer pressure. You know what I mean? I'm not no angel. You know, I'm definitely not no square. But at the same time, I know if they doing that and I don't get down with that, well, then that's that for me. It's see you later. I'll see y'all tomorrow. You know, where some people feel, well, I think I'm going to just hang out a little longer because I want to make sure I make a good impression, blah, blah, blah. Make your impression through your work. You know what I mean? You know, I've talked to females who've had this struggle too, that they're not really like that. But if they were, it would further their career. Oh, it's 1,000%. It happens. It happens. But you, there could be a way that you can, you know, I've met plenty of females where you would think, you know, back of your mind, oh, I know she do this and she do that. But when they say, well, have you seen it? Or has she did something to lead you to believe this should actually happen? You go, actually, no.
Right.
At the end of the day, she left, you know, and she was there bright and early with everybody else to do her job. But while we were there, she was very friendly and cordial and nice, and everything was, oh, hey, all right. You talking, you make a joke, she laughed like, oh, like you got action. But then she took her ass home. Right. You know what I mean? So, but then the other girl said, well, if I look, I got to do it because there ain't no got to. You know, if you did it, it was in you and that's that. But don't be, you know, crying later about it. But I, you know, I again, to kind of answer the question, I think you definitely just have to judge the situation. You have to keep your eyes open. You know, it's not... I think it's kind of going backwards now. When I, oh, the casting couch, da da da, well, shit. Now it's to a point with what's going on with my brother recently in the news. Now when I go out and I take a picture with somebody, I can look. My hands are here. Right. Do we have to hug? Okay. How about we do a selfie and I'll hold the camera? Like, you know what I mean? Like, right. You see my arms at all times. You know what I mean? But it's just the way of the world now. The climate has changed. There's a lot of opportunists, and there's still a few victims. You know, but
right.
Now it's like the lines are going to be so blurred. You don't know who's actually a victim and who's actually out for a paycheck.
Yeah, the Me Too movement is a crazy situation, you know, especially in 2018, 2017, 2018, 2019. You know, have the Me Too movement affected you in any type of way, or has it affected Hollywood, or you just navigate how you navigate?
Well, I navigate how I navigate. I mean, it's made it awkward in a way, but it's also something you kind of say now. You know, we go into a new situation, you go in the wardrobe, and you just like, you're a guy, you know, it's like, all right, here, throw these on, you know what I mean? And if it's a girl, it's like everybody leave the room, all right? So there's no, you know, if I was to just strip, then it's now, there's other actors that have done that, and they'd be like, oh, he showed me his, now, you know what I mean? So it's definitely, you know, now it's just, it's definitely changed, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, I'll take these clothes to my room, I'll come back, I'll let you know what fits, you know, if it's a social gathering or whatever it is, and people are drinking, as soon as you know it's getting, everybody's getting a little loose, time to go. You know, everybody's got a camera. It's, like, it's amazing when anybody does anything in this day and age and they act like they're actually trying to get away with something, you know? So it's like, why put yourself in that situation when you know what the possibility is now? People are pulling up things from 10, 20, 15 years ago. So you never know. So you just gotta be smart, man. You gotta be smart. I don't think there's definitely no rule that says you have to hang out or you have to do this or you have to be involved. But just know that by standing apart from everyone else, there's baggage and there's consequences with that as well. So you got to just keep standing. You can't just fall for it. You can't change later. Be like, well, you know what? Now I'm going to start going out and hanging out. Da-da-da. There's no shelf life on that shit. It's just at any moment, someone right. can step up and say, yeah, well, there was a time when they're back in the day and he did this and that, you know.
Right.
It's crazy. It's definitely changing. It's definitely awkward. You know, I think when the thing came out with my brother, you know, my wife was saying, well, shit, I think they're going to try to make an example of this girl to try to say you can't just, because everybody will just be popping up with shit. But that didn't happen. It seemed like the news was looking for it. They even showed the video. We're all looking at it going, really? That was it?
Right.
And yeah. This man is in handcuffs?
Yeah.
Because you had this girl. This is insane.
That's sad.
And the fact that it was actually newsworthy. That's what made it scary. Now, right. If it was just TMZ or Shade Room or something online and they caught a picture and they ran with it because they was bored, it was one thing. But I was sitting at a damn restaurant and it was breaking news on the TV. It blew my mind. I said, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
That was the scariest thing of all, that they actually thought it was newsworthy.
Yeah. So you said they're actually going to try to make an example. Because that's something I know a lot of times we have personal conversations amongst friends or, you know, just within the community in general. People talk about possible reform in some of the laws where if people, you know, put these false allegations, because a lot of times these false allegations happen and it sticks regardless, because you never hear the
right.
You never hear the other side. If the person get acquitted or if they're off, you don't hear that, but they blast.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't. And that is the sad part. But I mean, that's when we start blaming the media. Because they sensationalize it. They actually made it a story. Now, if it's allegation and nobody pumps it up, it's one thing. But if they're saying, this just in, he's been accused, here's the tape, judge for yourself. Why are we talking about this?
Right.
Y'all should have looked at it and said, I ain't nothing here, moving on. You know what I mean? Now, if he countersues and then she goes, you know, whatever happens to her on that end, then maybe an example will be made. But as of right now, you know, people feel free to just say, I just can't wait to meet them. But it's true. It's, you know, I hear, what he was saying, Keanu Reeves don't even touch a person. Hey, can I take a picture? Yeah, you stay over there.
Right.
Make sure there's some space in between because I don't know. There will never be no, you know. You know, my brother was so confident. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they'll rewind the tape and you'll see nothing. But then you rewind the tape and it's like, well, that looks like it could be something. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's like if you're not keeping yourself... If you 100%, you know what I mean, clean, then how can you just say, I'm going to trust the system or mom? I'm going to let them you know, speak for themselves and all that foolishness. Like, yeah, right. No, you speak for yourself. And, you know, at the end of the day, you really just got to remove yourself. That's why a lot of people, you know, they see me or they see people that are out in public or in the street. Oh, man, you down to earth. You shake a hand. You stop to talk. You took a picture. This is great. But we're going to be a dying breed now. It's like, yeah, well, shit, can't do that no more.
Right.
You know, we're afraid to go anywhere. Then you wonder, oh, what you got security for? To keep that element away from me. And I'll go do what I got to do and then move on about my business. And if I party somewhere, it's in a controlled environment.
See, that reminds me of this interview that I believe Eddie Griffin ended up doing a while back. He ended up saying it was in reference to like Bill Cosby and stuff like that and a few other individuals in the game. He said that he believes that Hollywood or just the powers that be wants to put an asterisk next to black actors. Reputations next to their name before they leave out of the entertainment world to disgrace their name or their legacy. Do you believe that that's true?
Yeah. Oh, shit. I mean, now I do. This is the thing, though. You know, and it's a tough thing to answer, especially with exactly what's going on with someone like. Let me just be honest with my brother now. When I look at the allegations and everything, do I believe they're false? Of course. You know, I've known him my whole life. I've hung out with him. You know, I know nothing is, I've seen some stuff that I wouldn't do, but not in the sense of criminal. You know, I just,
right.
It, but they're not making up shit to create these asterisks. They're just going, well, shit, I bet they believe it. If he does this based on what we've seen. So it's hard for someone like my brother to find, I don't know, character witnesses and people that anybody that said, oh, I'm hung with him, he a wild boy. Would he do this? Oh, no, he wouldn't do that, but he a wild boy. They said, what does that mean? Now it's open interpretation. Mm. Wild just means he'll hang out later than the most. The fact that he's a celebrity, why would he be hanging out there? And you know, singing on the mic, and you got him on TMZ every other day, jumping on the table and screaming. He's just enjoying himself. Yeah, well, he got too drunk one day and did this. Oh, shit. Well, I don't think he would do that. But, you know, it's just that gray area.
Right.
So if you keep yourself out of those situations, then there's nothing. They're going to have to just make up some shit. I've never met, when I worked with Bill Cosby, I was 9. There wasn't even a chance of nothing weird going on, even in my eyes or from my perception. And you've never heard of this shit until you've heard of it. And then all of a sudden, now everybody's jumping out of the woodworks. Are these people that we know, or are these people that were paid? Is it all a complete farce because he's crossed so many people? And he, you know, I've heard some stories and some other shit on some business side. I said, damn, Cos, why would you go there? But and now this is their way of bringing him down and smudging him. I don't know. Everybody that I would expect to hear something from that would actually validate it said, no, not a chance. You know, Felicia Rashad, the people that played his love interest in Moderna, no, I've never seen this. But then you got 30 random whatevers that ain't nobody ever heard of popping up saying, yep, and now it's validated. So, you know, so I don't know. I guess I kind of contradicted myself in a way. But I mean, if I knew him personally, then I could say, well, shit, he was, you know, you never knew because he liked women, you know, versus somebody who's had a history of just being out there. I don't think he's had any, you know, obviously has any priors of anything remotely close to this. But, you know, my criticism of him, you know, because I keep it 100, you know, ask me, oh, will you go on the show with him and talk about it? No, absolutely not. I may say some shit that's too real in the sense of, you know, why were you there? And you know, go somewhere private. Don't be somewhere where they got all these people here, to just, you know, just for that reason.
Right.
You know, he's been in other incidents where something happened and it wasn't that, but it was this and then she lied and da da da. I was like, after a while, they lied and something else is wrong. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, again, not even vaguely admitting or trying to say that he's guilty in any way, but other than of common sense, you know, you do something dumb and then they get you for something serious. Well, all right. Well, he was dumb, but he ain't do no serious shit. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, but to me, I hold myself to a different style, to a higher standard for sure. It's the same type of thing. Now, I've made TMZ once and I was drunk and was yelling at a motherfucker. You know what I mean? And that shouldn't have happened. You know what I mean? But I've since then said, well, shit, that's the end of that. You know, if I'm getting that drunk or if I feel like I need to be inebriated, well, I'll take my ass home or stay my ass inside and have just as much fun. I've been out enough. I've seen enough clubs and parties and all that type of shit. nightclub, Madden. Fuck out of here. Why? It's not worth it. And now everybody's looking for a check anyway. No thanks.
Yeah, that has to be a lot to deal with. You know, earlier in our conversation, you mentioned Tupac. And I wanted to ask you, you know, how did you process that, you know, as far as being that age, getting into the music industry, and you said everything came to a halt after Tupac passed away. You know, what's the correlation within yourself later on down your line in your career, end up playing in the TV series Unsolved, you know, in reference to Tupac and Biggie?
Yeah, yeah, that was eerie. I was out in Vegas. I was only, I think, one place where Tupac was, and it was at the height of his career, and it was one of them things where it looked like a damn stampede was happening. Oh, Tupac's over there. And I was like, well, shit, I'm not going to run over there. I'll see it when it's first chance I get. And then in Vegas, that was a time when I think everyone went to Vegas. I used to go to Vegas every weekend, you know, and we were out there, you know. I think we were at like the Fat Burger or some shit. They're like, yo, they just killed Pac up the street. Like, damn, really? You know, and then the full circle come back and play in Unsolved. It was interesting to just get some of the inside stories because, you know, it was such a closed case. It was such a, like, it was so many question marks, you know. I mean, to this day, I just look at the last picture he took and that shit, and we can sit and talk for another 2 hours about that alone, you
right.
know. So
yeah,
it was interesting to see it come full circle and to hear the different sides of it. I mean, a lot of stuff made sense. None of it proved to me that he actually died from that. But the actual circumstances leading up to it, and then with Biggie getting killed and all that, that, you know, that was that. It definitely shed a lot of light. But it was very, very surreal just being a part of that whole production.
Were there any question marks that you had personally that was answered throughout that process? Did you leave out of that situation believing what was displayed to the people?
There were a couple. I think with like police involvement, and if there was any type of, you know, because obviously, you know, the cops, they can catch somebody for something that you'd be like, damn, I can't believe they caught that. And then other shit, they just can't figure out. No leads, no nothing. It's like, come on. So a lot of shit was kind of no brainer. But when you saw it pieced together with actual facts and the shit that I was like, oh, damn, it was a lot more obvious than I thought.
Right.
But it did. I almost was excited at first when I first took it. I just wanted to go to the last script. Okay, how does this end? You guys actually say, but then they're like, no, it's called Unsolved for a reason. I was like, God damn it.
Right.
So they had a lot of, like, the guys that wrote it had a lot of information that I thought was really interesting. I was like, well, damn. But it actually brought up more questions than anything.
Yeah, I left out of that series feeling the same way. I wanted to ask you, you know, getting into the music and movie industry at such a young age, I have seen a lot of examples of child stars get into Hollywood, and I don't know if it's the stress or just the environment and all the things that come with Hollywood wear them out, or they have a bad ending at the end. I wanted to know, like, throughout your whole process and journey, what has helped you keep your sanity throughout this journey?
Well, it's kind of funny. When I first started, it seemed kind of easy. It seemed like, well, damn, this is it. And then I get, how much money? Oh, wow. I'm going to be a millionaire, which is about as far as I can see at 10 years old, you know, and in like 5 years. And then what? It's going to be boring. Like, it was a weird philosophy that I had about it when I started, which kind of, I wouldn't say made me kind of pull back. But I think I got more ambitious later in life than earlier. I don't know if I've kind of explain what I mean here. It's like, you know, there were a lot of things I took for granted. You know, when you think you got something that could be potentially easy or not as difficult as, I don't know if you even if you can fathom what difficult is at 10, even though we were homeless and we lived in cars and stuff like that. You know, once I feel like I got a job and my mom was able to quit, now it's like, oh, wow, okay, and we got this money coming in, you got some set aside, da-da-da-da. Now, I'm not thinking about school. I'm not thinking about, oh, being a doctor or lawyer or any, you know, even paying attention. What do I need in order to get back on this acting set? I got to maintain a C average? Like, what? That's it? I was doing theater? I say,
yeah.
You know, do what's required and then go. You know, I would love to go back and pay a little more attention and maybe even stay in school a little bit longer and obtain a little bit more knowledge about stuff that I had to learn on the job, so to speak. So the challenge was not being as educated young as other kids who, you know, this is common stuff. Learn this in school. You don't know what the capital or you don't know what the square root of, like, you don't know this shit. I'm like, nah, nigga, what I need it for? Nigga, I know what 5 and 5 is. Now give me that 10 and let's keep it pushing. You know what I mean? So there's certain things that I didn't pay that much attention to that later on in life, I said, oh shit, what do you mean the accountant is, there's no money in the, hold on, let me, all right, now let me look at these numbers myself. Now I got to figure this shit out where I should have known. Beforehand, I didn't have a mother and a father. They weren't, you know, we didn't know about investments and holding on to money and saving for today. Save my ass. There'll be another check coming next week. Spend this, you know. So there's things that we, you know, we learn as we go, which will help me when I, you know, raise my kids, Lord allows it, and when I talk to the youth and cats that are up and coming, that, you know, you have to pay attention. It seems like a lot. Like when you're in school and you're 12 and 13, this shit is forever. It's, oh my God, it's so much work, but it's really not. It's the easiest time of your fucking life. And you soak it all up like a sponge. Just soak it all up, put in the work, and then you can go have a party later. You can, you'll always have time to go have fun and hang with your friends and all that type of shit. You know, so I always had that work ethic. Well, I always wanted to be the best anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to, you know, reach that level. To where it's easier later, but I couldn't really understand. Like, I would hear my dad and my mom, they would talk about it, but I would kind of go, yeah, and I'll figure it out on my own, like, you know, relax. But yeah, just the you know, I almost wish that in order to be, to do your extracurricular activities or whatever when you're in school, that they would make you maintain like a B, whatever. You know what I mean? Or yeah. You try to, your GPA should have to be a little bit higher than just passing. You know what I mean? Because it just, it breeds mediocrity. And then later on, you know, like I said, you know, you can learn. I understand what happens to some of these kids that start off young and then they burn out. I mean, like, and it's not even burn out. A lot of kids just make a choice to say, well, you know what? I don't want to, you know, because once you start in entertainment, it's forever. It's not like you do it 10, 20 years and then you retire and then you get retirement and then you can just go do whatever you want. Now, especially if you have any kind of fame. Because now you're famous. Famous is a cold word. You got to understand what that means. That means you can't just go do what everybody does. Yeah. You know, you go to places and you get treated differently. Some of it's a plus, but then there's also a negative. You can't just say, I'm going to take you over here to the store. And then you're looking at it and it's a big fiasco. And you're like, what the hell's going on in there? They're like, what are you even doing in here? Right. You know, and sometimes you get upset and like, damn, I just want to look. I'm at 7-Eleven. Can you please just give me some blunts and let me get on about my way? What do you mean I got to take a picture and I got to talk to you and then you want to ask me while I'm here and why is my shoes looking like this? I just ran out the house. You know, this, you just have to be prepared for that. For startup, for fame, it's a beast. It's a beast. So, you know, some kids, some people don't get it. Some people don't understand it. If they don't have the right people around them to let them know what's coming and how to deal with all of that, then they feel alone. You know what I mean? You're by yourself figuring this out. You know, people that are, you don't have a mother or a father or an older brother, older sister, anything that knows what's going on. You're the famous one.
Right.
So now you're dealing with fame by yourself. And then you have friends who aren't as famous as you, but they're just your friends and they don't know how to deal with it either. They're just like, hey, roll with the punches. And now you're trying to be like them and they're trying to be like you. And it could be disastrous. So I don't, you know, it's funny. A lot of actors and actresses, you know, they have kids. They say, well, is your kid going to be in the business? They're like, oh, no. Right. Like, I don't want to put this on my kid. You know what I mean? They shouldn't have to deal with this at a young age because you never quit. It's forever. Who's famous actor you can think of at the top of your head? Denzel Washington. Oh, he's great. Okay, he's going to retire tomorrow? Hell no. He's going to do a movie every year till he's gone. You know what I mean? And if you get too old, you just become Morgan Freeman and then you keep doing stuff over and you're always going to do this until you can't do it no more or you just pay that super old guy. You know what I mean? So you just have to find ways to cut out time for yourself. You know what I mean? My schedule right now, when I do these interviews or something, like, damn, brother, do you ever sleep? I do, but it's seasonal with me. Like, I got a series. We filmed the whole series in a month, which is great. We're doing two seasons back-to-back this year. That's great. One month off, and then another month. And I told you I joined the cast of another show, so I got them. Okay, that's 3 months. I still got another 9 months. You know what I'm saying? I still got time to do everything else. You got to take time to really with family, you know, and I'm at a good time right now in my life where, okay, I got a 2-year-old, I got one more on the way. That means I'm going to pick and choose what I do. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I got an album out. All right, so you need to go on a 12-city tour. You need to go over here to London. No, hell no, I don't. I'm going to put it out. I'm going to get buzzed. You know, I'm going to do a show here. I'm going to do a show there. I'm going to take my ass home. You know, I got a series. I'll promote it. I'll shoot it in a month. I'll promote it for another month. And then I'm home, you know. And then after a while, you know, I may take a project that takes me away 2 months, 3 months, whatever. But I'm at a point in my career where I can bring my family with me, you know. So it's not rocket science, you know. Guys can say, oh, I'm never home. I never get to see my kid. Well, you choose that. Mm. You know, I don't know, you know, you could. There's always a way. Every time when I sit down with the producers, I said, well, look, this is what I got and this is what I need. And they said, all right, we'll accommodate that. You need to go home on weekends? You're home on weekends. You need to bring the family out here? Boom, your apartment. You know what I mean? So there's ways to do it. There's ways without driving yourself crazy to get everything done. And there's plenty of time. There's no rush. There's no rush.
Do your perspective and wisdom come from having two parents that was musicians alongside of having a brother that's also in the industry? Like, growing up, did they, you know, aid and assist with this information to help mold your perspective and way of thinking?
I learned it as I went because they led by example. How not to do it. Well, father said, you got to watch these motherfuckers because they will get your ass. You got to pay attention when they're speaking. You got to listen when you're supposed to listen. You got to shut up when you're supposed to ask questions when you're not sure. You know, and then you go, okay, you know. But his main motto was, do as I say, not as I do. Mm. I said, all right. Because then you'll find yourself saying, wait a minute. If you said, well, how come you didn't do it? I said, do as I say, right, not as I do. You know, so I pay attention to that. You know, and even with my brother, if I asked him a question, then yes, he would give me the answer to the best of it. But he would never, he was the type of person, like an actor, what we call, you don't want to give a person a line read. If it's an actor, the line is, I want some water, then I'm going to the bathroom. How do I say the line? I want some water, then I'm going to the bathroom. Now, don't tell me how to read it. Just tell me what the line is, or tell me what my motivation is. You're thirsty and you got to piss. Go. You know what I mean? So right. You never want to tell a person specific. I know that's how I was too, because people would tell me left and right, this is what you got to do, first of all. Oh, you want to make a music business? Well, this is what you got to do. You got to go independent. You got to get your own label. I'm like, forget all that. I want to get signed to a label. Well, I'm going to be different. I'm going to learn how to pay my money back, and I'm going to learn how to this and that. I'm going to own my masters, blah, 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 blah. Nah, you got to go the same route everybody else went. I like, you know, I was like that. I was very ambitious. When I was younger, I was like, you know, I want to do it my way. That was my whole thing.
Yeah.
So you can't complain if it doesn't go right. But I know guys now that I look back and say, yeah, man, he was right. He was right. But I wouldn't change the way it happened for me. I had to see it. Because if I would have, you know, someone says all you had to do is this and then you go do it and then it works. What's the fun of that? You know, that's just how I looked at it. That was just me. It was like, So, I mean, they were there. But again, it was more me paying attention to how they moved and what they did and then learning from it. You know what I mean? If my mother and father weren't always together, but they were both entertainers, so I take the fact that my father was in the streets and very streetwise, and he knew people, and everybody loved him, and he walked in the room, and it was this and that. And then my mom, same type of thing, but behind closed doors, she was a different person, a little meaner, a little this and that, but very devout, but she would pray things into existence, very strong Christian. So, you know, I would take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and then just watch how people react to them when they're not looking, and how they talk about them, and then how they are, you know, just kind of pull a little bit of everything into how I not only parent, but just how I live my life, man. So, you know, I think at this point, like I said, I think I've done it a certain way, a certain route I went. You know, there's a lot of ways that it could have went faster. You know, I get the questions like, why aren't you in this? Or when am I going to see you in something? And I said, well, what are you watching? Because I got a TV show that's been on 8 years straight. I got a movie here. You can go on Netflix. I got a film. You ever see the one called Percentage? You go on Instagram. I'm on everything. You know, it's there. But I'm not on the, you know, I got to deal with Disney, or I got to, you know, on the next Spider-Man or the woo-tee-woo-tee-woo. Yeah, you're not there yet. That's a different path. It's a lot more ambitious. You got to get a new headshot. You got to get a new agent every 5 minutes. You fire the agents and you stay on them and you make sure you're out there and you push and you push and you push and you give them your all. and they bleed your ass dry, and then you get caught at a bar one time and your ass is in court. I'm like, well, shit, I'm going to take my time. I wait for people to call me through social media. I'm making a great living on picking and choosing. You know, I'm not with the top agent, and I'm not this and that. I have a name. I got a boom, 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 and I can pick and choose how hard I hit the gas. But that's just me. If you're up and coming and you ain't established yet, you got to get your ass out there. Right. You got to use these platforms that are very, I mean, it's a great day and age we live in now. You don't have to necessarily be in Hollywood going to audition every day, every day, every day. You can be out in, pick a city and put yourself on tape or get on social media or make a video and it goes viral and you go meet one person and then you blast that or you piggyback that off of this. And so many ways you can get out there. You just got to make sure that it's a way that you can sustain for 25, 30 plus years, not just that fad that's in and then you're in jail for the rest of your damn life.
I do have to ask this question, with the scale, I've seen you play multiple different type of roles. Have there ever been a role that you have taken on that after the fact, after the movie came out, after the last day of set, that it was hard for you to detach from?
That's a good question. Hard was Baby Boy because it wasn't my, it was a part of me. It was something that I brought out and then let it be my dominant part of my personality, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's like, I'll get upset or something will happen. And then a friend of mine be like, oh shit, here come that Baby Boy. Like, then I'll go, all right, let me calm down, so it wasn't definitely like, and cut. Now I just laugh and joke and then walk on. Nah. It was, I lived in the Valley at the time and we were filming in Compton, it'd be like, cut. It would take me to drive all the way home, decompress, relax a little bit. It probably took a little while for the whole process to wear off. Plus, I was just at a different time of my life. I mean, if I was to do a role like that now and then come home to my son running around and my wife, that's different versus coming home to a house full of brothers and girls are coming over, we're gonna get some drink and some this and some that, we're gonna hang out for the rest of the night. You might be Baby Boy for the rest of the evening, at least the weekend, so yeah. it was just then I was 24 years old, so it was life altering in a lot of ways. I mean, even my body, everything, it was like I was about 40 pounds heavier when I got the call, and then I hit the gym. Really hit the gym for the first time in my life. I got muscles now. I'm walking around. Women looking at me that I didn't think would even. Oh, you talking to me, baby? Oh shit! It was different. And I had to just embrace that and enjoy that. Especially like I said, 24 years old. That was something else. Whereas now, I've taken similar roles where I can do, kind of let a little bit of that out. But nothing was as involved as that one. That I had to kind of change. A lot of things, how I moved, how I paid attention to shit. I learned a lot on that movie, just about, even dealing with, I had been in LA. I had, like I said, homeboys that was, grew up on them, Crenshaw, a couple of cats from Compton, and I'd hang with them, but then I'd go home. Right. It's not like I lived there. I wasn't from there.
Yeah.
But I'd be out there doing too damn much, quite honestly, And, but I did run into a couple of cats who was like, all right, man, you got the look and all, but you all that yelling and shit, you got to learn to calm that down and really internalize that. What John was teaching me was how to bring it in so that me just standing there looking around, you can see that killer in my eyes without me yelling, what, get over here, da, da, da. Calm all that down. The loudest one in the room, the weakest one in the room. Relax. You need to be able to just stare at this dude and they know that dude you want to avoid right there, him. So once I got that, I had a tiger, so to speak, I was able to lock in and then I can always draw back on that when I needed it in other roles when I needed, that intensity. But I didn't know how to kind of channel all that until I met John Singleton. So, I learned a lot on that film. It was probably the only one, like you said, it was the only one that I had to be like, oof, all right, okay, I gotta gotta let that go, And then move on. But that's why I like doing comedy, man. It's always a good time, on camera. And when we cut, the crew's live, So I've done a lot of great productions. And that's why this season 7 and 8 of the sitcom that I'm doing. It's fun. It's a blessing to be able to do something you love and that makes other people laugh. Baby Boy was cool because, you know, a lot of people that see it, the first thing they say is, oh, man, that movie was funny as hell. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting you say that, because when we was filming it, the last thing we was thinking was how many people are going to laugh from this. You know what I mean? Yeah. We was about as serious and dead ass as you could get on that set, you know, and it would be like, all right, cut, let's go somewhere and relax and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of cool that, you know, people can see it and then you can laugh. You know, we as people, we laugh at a lot of stuff that people say, damn, what you laughing about? I'm like, hey, that's what it is. Sometimes you got to laugh at this shit, you know, or else it'll really tear you up. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man. But God is good. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's prospering. The family's good. You know, we lost Pops. We keep trucking on. It kind of resolved us to really be more locked in now, because you never know. I mean, he was 73. Looking 50 something and jumping around here like, I'm gonna live forever, you know. But we saw him declining too, you know, so it wasn't so blindsided. You know, my son was born, he came to the hospital, he was limping. I said, damn, what's with your leg? And he's like, oh, that's fucked up, why would you ask me that? And they kept walking. I said, all right, that was just him, that's just how he was, you know. And then, you know, when he finally passed, it was just one of them things where we was just like, damn, really? I was like, I knew he was sicker than he would let on. Like, he wouldn't, you know, I don't do hospitals, I don't do this, I don't do that. He had a couple surgeries. There's something with his hip, you know, that's all. People getting old. Something happened to the hip, you always know it's coming. Yeah. You know?
Right.
But he was really, really, he left nothing unsaid. So we talked and talked. When my son was not even born yet, we talked so much about so many things that it was good to know that we had that. And, you know, all of his kids feel the same way. Like, he talked a lot. So he really let it all out there, even with his wife and everybody. He left everything out there. So you know, we're strong.
That's good.
You know, and then we got these kids to raise now. You know what I mean? I got my son, he's under plenty of questions. So I'm just like, hey, storing it up, you know. When you ready to talk, or when you ready to listen, I'm ready to talk. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I got my nieces and nephews, my brother's got 3 kids, my other brother got 4, 3 kids, you know what I mean? So we just trying to build this legacy for them, make sure they got a world to thrive in by the time they're of age. You know what I mean? There's a lot of crazy stuff going on, so we all got to just keep our heads on straight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, my condolences on hearing about your father passing, and hearing that you said that, you know, before he passed, that you guys, you know, he opened up and did a lot of talking. Do you feel like on a relationship level, did you get to know your father more in his latter years, or, you know?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely, because they were more, he was, you know, one of those type of people that you know, it was like, damn, can he talk? Is he listening to me? Is he hearing me? Well, you know, and then through the latter years, yeah, he would listen and respond and say stuff and say, oh, damn, I didn't think about that. And I look like, damn, did he just say that? Okay. You know, he was more, he had so much knowledge that it wasn't like I couldn't tell him anything that he didn't know about, unless it was like a new rap song or something. There was nothing he wasn't knowledgeable about. But then he became open to listening and knowing, you know what, I don't know every damn thing. Let me hear it from your side. Okay, son, that was well thought out and very, very thoughtful. You know what? I'm glad we had this conversation. I'm like, shit, me too, you know?
Yeah.
And just knowing that you can change, you can open up, that helps me, and it helps me in my relationship.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I'm able to talk and then listen, and then I can take a moment, I stop and say, you know what, Omar, you ain't the smartest moment. Shut up. Think about it. Obviously, there's something that you're not putting together here. Let me try this again and look at it from her standpoint, and then it's helped me work through a lot of things with, you know, with my wife. So it's good, man. You got to learn and you got to get better, or else what's the point? You know what I mean? So, you know, people that are stubborn and stuck in their ways, you know, be it in anything, you know, people reinvent themselves. My brother does a thing where every time he does a role, he makes sure he has a entirely different look moving on, just so people don't see him stuck in one way. You know, imagine looking like Radio all the time. That would be a disaster.
Yeah.
They already got their joke. Yeah, I mean, you got to change that up. Yeah. No.
Well, before we wrap this up, man, it's been a great interview. I do have one more question I want to ask you. You know, a lot of sitcoms, a lot of TV series and stuff like that don't last 7 or 8 seasons. I wanted to ask you, you know, we're having a successful cast and a successful series going on this long. I wanted to know, like, what's that process been like for you, you know, since you have so much on your plate? You're taking on Fifth Ward plus doing Family Time and then also putting out the album. How do you balance everything?
Well, the dope thing about Family Time is that it...
Time, yes,
when I started the series, I had only read the pilot. On day one, we sat down to read the pilot. We have a table read. Now, back in the day, this was the process. Monday, table read, go home. Tuesday, another table read with a little light rehearsal, go home. Wednesday, rehearsal, and then you have a run through for the studio, for the producers, go home. Thursday, you have a final run through for the studio and the producers, go home. And then Friday, you film it in front of a live studio audience. Mm-hmm. And you've been working on it all week long. The lines is memorized. Everything is good. Now you can get loose and just have some fun. And if you mess up, the audience is happy to see you mess up because that's what they're there to see. And they laugh. And the laugh track is live. And you have the DJ playing. And it's a whole experience. And that's just one episode. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, we don't film in front of a live audience. So that means we can do multiple scenes, multiple episodes, multiple story. We can block shoot where we only do all bedrooms and then we switch over to the other set and just do all those sets and knock it out from different episodes and whatnot. So we do from, let's see, an episode is maybe 30 pages long when you would take a whole week to do 30 pages. Now we average 40 to 50 pages a day. Mm. Film.
That's crazy.
So, you don't have to worry about the audience and resetting and starting from the top. You can just pick up, make a mistake, and just keep going. You don't just make a mistake and then start over from the top. Everybody resets and DJ plays some song. Everybody gets peanuts and juice. And nah. This, we just banging it out. So after that first season, man, it was like I could do anything, you know, as far as memorizing something. I don't care how many words it is. We knocking them out. You know, guys come on as get, you know, people come on to do guest spots with us and they're blown away. Like, damn, how do y'all memorize all these damn lines? I got four lines here and I'm sweating and y'all got all these. And you have to do two more scenes and you in, and I'm the lead. So I'm in damn near every scene every damn day.
Right.
You know, so it's a whole lot of work. But I, you know, my hats are off to Bentley because he conditioned us in a way that after our workload is so heavy now. It's easy. Like, we don't even rehearse no more now. We just show up, we read the scripts one day, and the next day we film it. So, you know, we take 13 episodes, and we film them in 11 shooting days, you know? Mm. And if you talk to Tyler Perry, he'll tell you, oh, man, that ain't nothing. We do. I've never worked for him, but I heard it, though, that they say he got that from the Tyler Perry method, where he shoots, like, I don't know, 100 pages in a day? Something crazy, something ridiculous. So the sitcom has changed quite a bit. But with this, you know, it's funny, the irony of it being called Family Time, and it's like a family crew because you got Bentley Kyle Evans, his son, Bentley Jr., plays my son on the show, his wife caters on the show, he's got his nephew as the AD, he's got another nephew as one of the cameramen, like it's a lot of family members actually as part of the crew, which is hilarious, and we've all known each other for 10, you know, some odd years plus, so it's a well-oiled machine by the time we get there. And then we just kind of insert a couple extra people that, you know, the first time when we get a starter, a celebrity or somebody else that wants to just pop up and do an episode or two. So it's fun, man. So it's easy. You know, it pays well and it's not, it doesn't take half of your year. You know what I mean? Like I said, we do it in about, it takes a month, and that's just being generous because we only need about 11 days out of those months. Everything else is just kind of preps and getting the sets up and all that type of stuff. So that's why I was able to jump into another set. And I'm like, shit, it can't be much work, much more work than what I do with them, especially when I'm the leads. I'm in every damn scene, and I'm driving, and we're doing, you know, you got to do your timing, your comedy, blah, blah, blah. So I just transitioned into this. And I see it, you know, I kind of talk about it like, oh, it's nothing, but it is a lot. Like, I look at these cats. And other people, you know, and I said, damn, man, ooh, they struggling with just a few lines. And it's like, damn, you know how many lines we'd be banging out? So it's really something special. You know, Angel Conwell, who's my co-star on the show, she signed on to do another show as well. And it's funny, she's doing it in between too. So our schedules are having us bouncing around all crazy. I'd give her a plug if I remember the name of it, but I don't. But, you know, I'm sure when she's on that set, she's like, well, shit, this is easy compared to when I'm working on Family Time, you know, because it's me or her in every scene, you know what I mean? And then we got scenes where we're together, and it's like, you know, six pages of us just sitting in the bed trying to remember these lines, bouncing back off each other, you know. So it gets challenging. You know, at the end of the day, we'd be exhausted, like tired. Like, what are you tired? What were you doing? Manual labor? No. But our brains are exhausted from memorizing all these pages, and then boom, dump it, move on to the next one, you know. But it's a blessing, you know what I mean? It's a great job. It's a career where, you know, you gotta learn to pace yourself. You gotta learn to take, you know, when you have downtime, I really enjoy it. I don't get anxious. I'm gonna say, damn, I gotta do something else. No, you don't. Rest, sleep.
Yeah.
Because when it's busy, it's busy. And when it ain't busy, take that time to rest. And it works out in the long run, buddy.
Word. Well, I definitely appreciate the interview. You know, blessings on your son and all your future endeavors. And I appreciate everything.
Right on, my brother. And then next time I'm going to come back on, we're going to bang that album, man. And we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.